Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome. This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Wednesday, March the 21st of 2018. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for today, and as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you, and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time as really explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the Word of God, the Word of Yahuwah and His Son, Yahushua. So today, my sisters, got a very important topic for you today. Today, we want to take our time with this one. We'll probably break it down in three parts today. Today, tomorrow, and Friday are the last day. We're going to break down how to establish your worth and value. How to establish, and the word establish means to see. So how do we see our worth and our value? Man, this is a huge topic. That's why we want to take our time. We want to go through this one. We've talked about it before. But today we need to talk about it from a perspective of being able to empower oneself authentically. In other words, what motivates you? Why do you do what you do? What is the driving force behind your inner G, the little G, the I-N-N-E-R-G inside of you? What feeds that or it? I need you to put on your thinking caps today, because today we want to, today and tomorrow, next couple of days, we want to spend some time going through the three things that establish your worth and your value. These are the three things that makes you you. See, the problem is many of us, we get our worth and our value from outside of us instead of inside of us. So who you are being, what you are doing, and what you have, those three things establishes your worth and your value. Let me say that again. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. Who you are, what you do, and what you have. Those three things is the driving force behind everything that you do in your life, every decision that you make, everything that encompasses you. That's the empowering force. That's the vibration. That's the frequency of the wave that vibrates or that empowers you. But as I've learned and as I've talked to people and as I've learned about myself, that most of us, we know what we do, but we don't know how we do it. We know we don't like, you know, spinach, but we don't know why we don't like spinach. It gives us a bad taste, but we don't know why. So we want to break down the psychology behind, under, over, and understanding why we do what we do, but from a perspective of understanding, how do we establish what we do? How do we establish our worth and our value? So let's start off by defining. You know, I'm a metaphysician. As a metaphysician, I like to establish the terms and the definitions and the words that we use. And we are talking about, number one, how to establish. So when we're talking about establishing something, we want to look at it from the perspective of not building worth and value. You see, it's interesting because a lot of people, they want to, there's a lot of courses and a lot of books and a lot of people who want to help you, you know, it's called self-improvement. But it's hard to improve something that doesn't exist. The self doesn't exist. So I'm not interested in self-improvement. I'm not interested in improving your self-worth. I'm not interested in improving your self-esteem. I'm not interested in improving your self-value. I'm not interested in improving. The word improve is improve. I am P-R-O-V-E. Now, whenever you set out to prove something, that implies something. When you're trying to prove something, you're trying to establish the authenticity and the and you're trying to validate it. That's not what I'm interested in doing today. I'm not trying to prove. Even though the title is How to Establish Worth and Value, the real word should be how to see worth and value. So we're not trying necessarily to establish your worth and your value because it's already there. It's already established. So the problem is, right off the bat, we got to understand that there's a big problem because there is this misconception, at least for my belief system, that you can establish worth and value. It's like saying you can establish trust, or you can establish integrity, or you can establish honor. Now, you got to follow me here because this is extremely important. You can. Remember, we live in a world where there is no such thing as right and wrong. There's just something that's different. And so since everybody thinks there is stuff, something that's right and wrong, people set out to prove. Big mistake. Huge. Huge. Most people live their entire life like I did, trying to prove something to somebody that don't give a flying beep, 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 beep about you. So you can waste your life like I did, trying to prove shizness to people who don't give up about you. I don't recommend you do that. I already did. However, I know you got to do you, boo-boo, so I ain't mad at you. I already been there and done that. But when you get done, when you get finished, come back to this message. And remember that I said that you have to see your worth and your value. Because right now you don't. You don't see your worth, you don't see your value. If you did, you wouldn't let people disrespect you the way they do. You wouldn't disrespect yourself the way that you do. Now, we all disrespect ourselves. We call it, you know, getting along. We call it not rocking the boat. We call it, oh, here's the buzzword, compromise. Everybody wants to be loved. As I talked about on yesterday's show, the word care is like, That's like a four-letter word for me because I've misused that word so long. People who care about you and the people that you care about, what does that mean? As we talked about yesterday, that's the kiss of death. That's how you put your balls in a jar and give it to somebody else. You need to take your balls off the shelf and screw them back on, homie. Not you, but, you know, somebody that you know. If you live your life the way I live my life, you are always concerned. That's why you guys know I have a healthy disdain for the word concern. Y'all been picking that up over the last couple of years. I have a strong dislike for the word concern. That's why you notice I don't really have too many concerns. In fact, I go out and try to kill every concern I got. I purposely destroy concern. Because, see, the word concern means you have to show yourself. You have to prove that you got character and ability. Now, I used to be a hoop jumper. I'm retired now. You want to piss me off? Just as yes. Well, that's not a study for another time. So I'm not interested in trying to prove anything to anybody. So today's message, how to see your own worth and your own value. And the only way to do that, there's three things. Number one, you have to be able to see who you are being. Number two, you have to be able to see what you are doing. Number three, you have to be able to see what you have. If you can't do that, you can kiss the baby. Hasta la vista. Because you will have no worth and no value. Your worth and your value comes from your ability, not your mother's, not your father's, not the reverend's, not the doctor's, not the bishop's. Not your husband, not your wife, not little Johnny, not little Susie. If you're getting your worth and your value from outside of yourself, then the whatever that's outside of the self controls the self. Big mistake. I've already been there, done that already. Learn from my mistakes. You cannot get your worth and your value from outside of yourself. If you do, that drives the self. And the moment that that thing that you're working for is gone, the moment that that carrot is no longer in your life, the moment that you find out that Susie Q is, you know, hooking up with Stevie J, and your heart gets ripped out of your chest, your desire for life is gone. You're in something called depression. Now, I didn't read about it in a book. I did it to people, and I had it done to me. They say what goes around comes around. That's what they say. Now, I'm interested in just staying in Groundhog's Day, so I decided to exit stage left. But the way that I got out of the Kirka, the way I got out of the circle, the way I got out of the Ouroboros, the way I got out of the church, the way I got out of keep repeating the same shitness over and over again, that's the definition of insanity, by the way. You keep doing the same shitness every day and expecting different results. The way that I got out, I don't know about anybody else, but this is how I got out. So I'm going to share with you what worked for me and what works for people inside the life management system. I can only do what works. And the first thing, the most important thing, is to establish the terms. Because when God took Abraham out of Ur, he told him to leave his customs, his traditions, his paganism behind. However, Abraham, whose name was Abrah, before it was changed to Abraham, he decided to take something with him. So he didn't leave all of the customs. He took something called definitions with him. And that's what we got today. So we got definition. Now, the definition means the act of defining or making something definite, to make something distinct, to make something clear. Y'all remember the three-step process to everything on earth, the three-step process to getting anything in life. Number one, three steps. Number one, clarity. That's another word for definition. Everything starts with definitions. Definitions gives you what? Confidence. Confidence gives you certainty. If you're certain, the universe only responds to certainty. It doesn't respond to, oh, yeah, I think. The universe don't give a damn about what you think. The universe only responds to what you freaking know, homie. So I'm going to ask you today, what the hell do you know? Oh, you still contemplating? You still concerned? I feel you. I've been there, done that. So I'm only interested in defining shiznits, but unfortunately, the shiznits has already been defined for you. So you got to go back and redefine the definitions. Because what you will find, if you define, you're going to find some dead definitions inside of your definitions. This is called grammar, grammaria, grammatus, a.k.a. witch wiccan. We call it witchcraft. Grammar, grammaria. It's the ability to cast spells and charms and hexes by words. Man, y'all have no, y'all, I know y'all do, but it's mind-blowing, the depth and the power of one word, just one. One word. I can say one word right now. It'll change your whole day. One word. It's mind-blowing. I just watch people go through life. And they go up to a place to pick up something that they expect. I just like sitting back and just watching. Watch all of the energy drain out or all of the energy get put in. It is amazing. It's amazing. Just watch people. Payday, they go up there to get the check. They work 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a whole month. They are expecting a big check. The first thing that people do when they get their checks, they open it up, they look at it. And if that amount on that paper is not what, it doesn't match with their expectation, look at their face and watch the reaction. Just look at it. When people get bad news or people get good news, it's amazing how people react. Now, I used to be one of those people. That's why I enjoy watching people. That's why I had to take, I had to find the way, which I'm going to teach you, which I've been teaching. I found the way to take all of the energy out. I neutered words so that way they cannot have power over me. Because I was a little whippersnapper. You know, my grandmothers growing up and stuff, they were good people. Man, I was raised in a good family, and they did the best they could, but they said some shit that kind of hurt. I mean, my grandfather said, boy, you run across this slogan, I'm going to snap you so hard, I'm going to dry your blood up. And I was like, you're going to dry my blood up? I'm not going to have no blood? And then my brother said, boy, I brought you into this world, I'm going to take you out this world. I'm like, what? Why do you want to hurt me? And then they say, boy, you are lazy, no good for nothing, worthless, piece of. I say, I am? The power of words. Just watch little kids when the parents talk to them sometimes. It's kind of hard to watch. In the grocery store, you see people walking, they little kids. And now some kids, you know, they need to be snatched up. But, man, even some of the mistakes I made with my kids, I look back and I see my kids now. I'm so godly proud of my children because they overcame all of the adversity that I put on their way. See, I had a father that, yeah, y'all already know. And my mother died, I was so young, I can barely remember. So I didn't really have no example. I'm not making no excuses. I did the best I could. But I made a ton of mistakes. So now I look at my children, I see that they got worth and they got value now. So every opportunity I get, I try to make up for lost time by sharing with them that I see your worth, homie. I see your value. But if they don't have, and if you don't have somebody outside of you to empower you, you got to do it for yourself, boo-boo. And the way that we do that is we start first by changing the definition because they're Lucifer. You define. You declare. You decree. You decree. And the word definition means to make a formal statement of significance. I'm going to empower you today. Today, forward, you got the power. Don't give it away. You got the power. You. You don't have to consult no curanderos. You have to consult no reverend and no doctor or no bishop. You the reverend. You the doctor. You the mother bishop. You make the defining moments in your life. You have self-defining power. I'm going to give it to you. I hereby ordain thee self-defining. Go forth and define thyself. It's the ability to, the word definition means the ability to make decisions and set boundaries. How about that? The word definition means that it is the act of stating what something means. Me, brother, me. I'm going to determine it. I ain't leading up to nobody else anymore. The word definition comes from the word define. You want to know how to see your worth and your value? You define it. Now, when I was a little kid, they told me, well, they didn't tell me, the dominant culture, I felt it, I saw it. It wasn't spoken. It was vibrationally transferred. Because when I walked into the store, they didn't smile when they saw me. I remember a little kid at a little store in our little hood that we grew up in, a little country town we grew up in. It was called Dozier's. I remember going in the Dozier's, and I know that I used to see Mr. Dozier's. They would greet the white folks. Hey, Johnny, how you doing today, Johnny? They'd be sitting there and they'd be talking. I would go to the counter, and I would just stand there. They didn't greet me. They didn't smile. They knew who I was. Yeah, ain't you Murder Walters' boy? Yeah, that's Murder's boy. They followed me, make sure I wasn't stealing nothing in the store. But I noticed when I was a little kid, I didn't have no worth, no value to them. Other people established my worth and my value. Thankfully, I'm not no kid no more. So my state, my identity, the determining factor, the ability to make a clear outline or to determine a specific boundary or to definish, define means to de and to finish. Now, the ball's in my court. It means to set the end. It means to predetermine. It means to explain. It means to see the boundaries of the limits. Today, my brothers and my sisters, after the next few days, you will be able to see, if you choose to. See, right now, other people are seeing the boundaries for you. They set the boundaries for you. They tell you how far you can go. They complain. They set your limits. They set the ceiling. There's a glass ceiling. You can only make $14 an hour. You cannot go above that. It's a glass ceiling. They, whoever they are, they set the glass ceiling for you. They says, well, you know, you cannot work at home. They say you cannot make more money at home working online than you do in the 9-to-5. They said you cannot, after you destroyed your marriage, you cannot rebuild it and repair it and make it better than it was before. That's what they said. They said once the trust is gone, it cannot be rebuilt. That's what they said. They said unless you got a college degree from Harvard or Yale, or unless you got this or that, you cannot be a part of the bougie club. That's what they said. They said if you don't submit to our rules and our regulations, then you cannot be a part of our team. That's what they said. That's what they told me. They said if you too little, you too short, you too black, you too, you know, fat, you too skinny, they said, well, you can't, you're not going to have a man, or you're not going to have a woman. That's what they said. They said God don't love you if you don't tithe, or if you don't, you know, go to this church, or if you don't do this. So that's what they told me. I don't know, what did they tell you? They told me a lot of stuff, and I believe it. I never questioned it. I never stopped and asked, hold up. Why I gotta do that? Why I gotta say, you know, get up and down, say 15 Hail Marys before I'm accepted into the kingdom? Why was that written at? Who told you that? See, I never questioned authority, brother. I got two sons. They just, them suckers just like me. My son, even my little stepson is just like me. You tell them to do something, the first thing out of their mouth is, a lot of times they don't say it, they just look at you kind of puzzled, and then the lack of movement shows that they are questioning the why they should empty out the trash. I know my son BJ, I just tell him, hey, BJ, your turn to the business, homie. He always managed to be spending the night over somebody else's house when it was his turn to do the dishes, miraculously. Then my other son, Kendrick, every other word out of his mouth was why. Thankfully, he wasn't born first. I kind of figured it out by the time he came around, after all the mistakes I made with my first son. See, the number one thing you got to have that I've learned really from watching my sons and my daughters as well is just because somebody is an authority figure, don't make them an authority figure just because they got the title. Sometimes cop pull you over, you might want to ask, hey, why are you pulling me over? It's okay. It's okay to question authority. See, I wasn't raised in that culture. If the Reverend Dr. Bishop said it, stones, you did it. So I didn't understand how to define. I didn't know that the word define means the ability to see the boundaries. So I want to talk to you today and the next couple of days on how to see the boundaries. Well, what boundaries, Brother Will? The boundaries of your words, not mine. Well, Brother Will, that's great, dog. I'm with you, homie. What you got? Well, the word words, what does that mean? The first thing we got to do, we got to understand what we are seeking to understand. People just go out and say, that is an apple, okay? Who said it was an apple? Who defined that as an apple? How come that cannot be an orange? Well, it's not an orange. Well, why? Because I said so. That's not good enough for me. Let's keep going. Well, you got worth, okay? That's great, Brother Will. What the hell is that? Well, worth means excellency or usefulness. It means value, which is the next word we're going to define. So worth and value are same. They're similar. The word worth, however, it means something that is kin to a verse. Worth, verse. Now, verse as in scripture, as in wave, as in vibration, as what we're going to be talking about on April the 2nd when we break down that you have 12 verses. These are called words. Why? In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. There are 12 verses that establishes your words. Do you know what they are? Or if you don't, that might be a concern, because the word verse, the word word means significant. It means valuable, or it means of value. It means valued. It means appreciated. It means something that is highly sought, something that is highly thought of. Ding, ding, ding. Now, let me make sure you understand the definition of what I just said. So how to see what makes you highly thought of. That's what we're talking about. There's three ways to increase the number of times you are thought about in somebody else's head. Anybody interested? I'm interested. So I want to increase the number of times that my name comes up in your head, especially when it comes to my products, my services, and my information. It's called metaphysical marketing. I want to metaphysically, that means telepathically, implant into your head. I want to communicate with you mano a mano. I'm interested in texting. I'm interested in emailing. I'm interested in paying some fool, you know, $1,000 for some slick marketing campaign. I'm not interested in no sales funnel. I'm not interested in no freaking landing pages. I'm not interested in none of the Google algorithms, Google algorithms, all of this great shit that they got by which to increase my business. That's all great. I do none of those things. None. Yet, I made over $100,000 last year with no advertising. All the gurus trying to figure it out. Now, I've been doing this for a long time. I wrote a book about metaphysical marketing before I even knew what it was. I just followed my gut. And my gut said, if you have clarity, if you have confidence, if you have certainty, the universe draws to you whatever you are certain of. The enemy's job is to destroy your certainty. As long as I can get you to be concerned, as long as I can get you to question, as long as I can get you to doubt who you are, then you don't exist. You are a wave that has collapsed or condensed into something that is visible. That's called a visible light beam. That's a hue, H-U-E. Hue means bent light. It is bent so much that it's visible. If I straighten you out, you disappear. That means when you get clarity, you transfigure. You do what Jesus did on the Mount of Olives. That's what we're going to talk about later on this year. That's where we are all going. You're going to return back to soul. You're going to become one with the Father. Now, but for right now, you are a single standing column of waveform energy. That means that you are a light being that has a dirt suit that allows you to be seen. So you need to know, okay, what is my dirt suit? Your dirt suit is the thing that makes you visible. It's the thing that makes you highly thought of. It's the thing that makes you highly sought out. It's called purpose, dear Kenya. It's the thing that makes you deserving. It's the thing that makes you capable. It's the thing that makes you suitable. It's the thing that makes you proper. It's the thing that makes you fit. It's the thing that makes you relevant. It's the thing that makes you worthy. So you mean to tell me you hanging out with somebody and something that can't see your worth and your value? You want to why? Because you can't see it. The moment you see your worth and your value, all of a sudden you are inspired. That word inspired means in something in internal. It means internal spiritus. Spiritus means ruling disposition, animating principle of the body. All of a sudden you talk like me, you animate it. And people want to know, damn, why that fool's always yelling? Why is he always freaking screaming? Why can't he just talk normal? See, when you get worth and value, you're going to be like me. You're going to speak with dunamis power. All of a sudden, your tone, the tone in your voice determines the frequency of your choice. Speed by which your choice comes to you is the result of your tone. No tone, no speed, no choice. Well, I like choices. I like choices quickly. I want to hang on, brother, till next week. I want my blessing now. Thank you very much. So I had to figure out a system by which to bring my blessing to me now. And the way that I did that was the ability to see my worth. So worth is the significance that merits your high rank, that makes you suitable for, that makes you fit, that makes you proper, that makes you capable, that makes you highly sought out, that makes you highly thought of. Worth. Nothing else is more important than your worth. And if you cannot tell me why I should think highly of you, then I'm not. If you ask me, Brother Will, why should I think highly of you? I'm going to ask you to sit down for a couple of hours, because I can talk nonstop. Now, when I was young, dumb, and stupid, I couldn't tell you my worth or my value, because I didn't have none. And when I talk to people, they tell me the same shit that I used to say. And that is, well, you know, I'm working on my college degree, and when I finish going to school, what the hell does that got to do with your worth and your value? Well, you know, so if somebody doesn't come along, if you don't get no Facebook likes today, we're going to see you on the 6 o'clock news, standing off the bridge ready to jump, because you posted some shit on Facebook and nobody liked it, and now you're angry. Now, I used to talk in circles and talk, and I had a few people in my life, especially like Sister Erica, who told me, "Brother, what are you going to say to me, homie? Just straight, no lime, no salt. Spit it out." Then I had some clients who would call me and text me and say, "Hey, man, I listened to your message, and I felt a little pissed off because you was talking about me. I don't understand. Like, I don't have a brain of my own. Like, I got to talk to you to get ideas to come up with shows. Not you personally, but, you know, people that you know." That's what I mean by worth and value. You can call me right now, and people do. You can text me right now. You can talk about me. You can talk about my mama, about my grandmother. You can talk about anybody you want. And then look at the lack of concern that I will, and the lack of emotional response that you will garner from me. Why? I know my worth and my value. I know what I'm capable of. Now, it took me some time. If you're 20, 30, if you're a man and you're under 40, bro, give it some time. You're doing good just tuning in today. Women catch on to this stuff a whole lot faster than men. Worth means that you are solely existing to be or to befall. It literally means to turn into. That's what worth means. Then we got the next word that is more powerful than the first word. That's value. Now remember, you define it, because these two things, and I'm going to tell you how to define it. Number one, who you are being defines your worth and value. Number two, what you are doing defines your worth and value. Number three, what you have defines your worth and value. Those three words actually means what your spirit, that's who you are being, your spirit, that determines your worth and value. Your soul, that determines your worth and value. And your body, that's what you have, that determines your worth and value. Which is another way of saying what you're thinking, which is your spirit, which is your being, that determines your worth and value. Which is another way of saying what you're feeling, which is what you are souling, which is what you are doing, that determines your worth and value. Which is number three, your actions, which is your body, which is what you are having, that determines what you are doing. Because what you have comes from what you do, and what you do comes from what you be, and what you be comes from what you see. So I'm going to ask you again the question, my brother. I'm going to ask you again the question, my beautiful sister. What do you see? Not out there. What do you see inside of you? What do you see? What of right? What is honorable? What is noble? What is appreciated? What has high rank inside of you that's worth? Value is worth's cousin. Value is a deeper expression of worth. Value means relative worth. Let me say it again. This is important. Value means relative worth. Let me say it again. I don't know if you got it. Value really means worth, and worth means relative value or relative worth. So relative is a person who is connected to another by blood. Oh, man, Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. So, now remember, worth means value. Value means relative value. Relative means something having relationship with. It means something that is dependent upon a specific nature. Something, now see, people asking about Brother Will, where did you get your worth from, honey? Where did you get your value from? See, I see my worth and I see my value. But what I see is, because I have a relationship with who? The Father, the big G, not the little one. I am dependent upon the value and upon the relationship, upon the connection, upon the correspondence that I have with my Father. I'd be still walking the streets of Richmond, Texas right now if it wasn't for my Father. When Sister Sherry used to come and pick us up, I wouldn't have ran if it wasn't for my Father. The word relative is two words. It's the word relate, and then it's the word tive. It's the word relative. Now, I need you to get this down in your spirit, because if you can get this down in your spirit, it'll transform your life forever. There will be no demon. There will be no devil. There will be no man. There will be no woman that will ever make you feel less than. I don't give a damn what they say or what they do to you inside of your skull. Nobody controls what goes on inside of your head but you. Relative means having a frame of reference. It means to refer to. The word relative value means to refer, R-E-F-E-R. Now, this is important, man, because I know what you're thinking. You say, Brother Will, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand what he did. You don't understand what she did. You don't understand how hard it out here for a pimp. You don't understand, bro. No, I think I do. I think I can talk on this one just a little bit. See, I've been in the lion's den. I've been in the belly of the whale. See, my back was up against the Red Sea. I didn't read about it in the book. I freaking lived it. And if you, when you're in prison, brother, when you walk in the streets homeless, when you ain't got no food in your belly and you're 6 years old and you want to eat and there's some food telling you that you can't eat, you got to be able to refer. Without the ability to refer, you got to be able to refer to. Relative value means to refer. It means to direct for information. It means to submit for consideration. It means to have a relationship. See, people talk about God like he's a mystical character or being. The word refer means to trace something back. It means to sign. Re means to return. Fur means to the carrier. It means to return back to infer. It means to commit to some authority for a decision. Refer. It means to commit to some authority for a decision. Refer. We all talk about worth and value, right? How to see it? Anybody want to see? Anybody want to see? I can see. I don't know about anybody else. I can see. Number one, I was born with discernment. Number two, I developed it over the years of being, I almost said something very graphic. Let's say over the years of being mind effed. Let's put it that way. That's PG-13. See, when you've been took to the cleaners, as many times as I've been took, When you failed, as many times I've been failed, y'all remember how many jobs I've had? Y'all remember how many freaking relationships I've been through? Y'all remember how many failed businesses? You know how many freaking, do you have, do you know how it is to take all your money, give it to somebody with the hopes and dreams that they're going to save you and they take your money and run? I remember Bill Gould. I'll never forget it. I'm going to put his name out there on Front Street, Bill Gould. Look him up. I think he's in prison now. I remember taking all my money, $5,000, $6,000, bought a bunch of, I think it was water systems. It could have been fire systems, liquid vitamins. Hell, I don't know. I get them all mixed up now. There's been so many. I remember I used to call my brothers and sisters about the new latest and greatest money-making idea. And I remember they used to pick up the phone and I could hear the hesitation. Hey, bro, how's it going? My poor sister, Brenda, man, I used to call off. Hey, Brenda, I got this idea, sis. It's going to make, now she's already making money. She's been great, been doing her thing, and I'm going to call her, giving her advice on how to make money. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. I don't know. I thank God for my brothers and sisters because they put up with my black ass when I couldn't, when nobody else would. So I'm calling them for and telling them this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. You got to get on this ideal. Otherwise, you're going to be a pauper. You're going to be a busted on the streets. I'm the only one on the street. And I'm calling successful people, telling them they're going to be non-successful if they don't invest in my scheme. That makes sense to y'all? So, yeah, I can talk about the subject just a little bit. Because I didn't read it in the book. And see, the sad thing about it was when I was talking to my brothers and sisters about investing in this money-making opportunity, I had tears rolling down my cheeks. I believed, man. That's why I'm not a believer today. Y'all don't know. Y'all don't understand. Y'all got to go through it. Everybody got to go through it at least once. Everybody. Y'all don't know what it's like. You don't know what it's like. You don't know unless you've been there. You cannot relate to what it's like to look a gifted horse in the mouth and give your life and, hopefully you're not like me, your wife and your children. And you're putting everything in somebody else's hand and saying, please save me. Because you ain't got no ability to save yourself. You ain't got no worth. You ain't got no value. So you're looking to the reverend, not the bishop, and saying, well, you talk to God because I can't. Now, even though the scripture says that every man can boldly come to the throne of grace, that there is no more mediator between God and man, save the Son. But, you know, for some reason or another, you brought into this idea like I did, like my mama did, and like most folks, who you need something outside of yourself because there is no value inside of yourself. That's why I teach what I teach with boldness and with a little righteous indignation. Because I got to be very careful because if the wrong person step at me at the wrong time, they might get punched in the mouth. Like my wife says all the time, Jesus still working on me. He ain't finished yet. That means I got a little cray-cray. I'm working on it, but I'm not finished yet. I'm a work in progress. So value means that you have an understanding that you ain't God. That's what value means. See, worth and value means that even though you're great, and even though you're awesome, even though you're a water walker, and you can transmute this, that, and the other, you can levitate, you know what, you can curl toes, you're a bad mamma jamma. However, there is some limits to your authority. You got boundaries and limits, homie, because you're in a freaking body. Now, there's a lot of gurus out there who say that don't. You are God. You can astral project. You can remote viewing. You know what? You can take you some shrooms and smoke you some Mary Jane, and you can go out to the Kumbaya, and you can go some hugs and trees, and you can do all of this great business. However, if I put a bullet in your head, guess what happens? Hasta la vista, baby. You gone. So even though how great you are still limited. That's what worth and value means, knowing your freaking limit. I cannot turn water into wine, but I know who can. I cannot raise the dead, nor do I want that power. I really don't want to raise the dead. If I could, I'd be out at the graveyard just doing it for the hell of it. So that's why I don't have the power. I don't want that power. Worth and value, my brothers, means refer. The word refer means that you have the overstanding, you have the mental capacity to understand that you are going to seek information. This is what I do every day. Every day I get up and I say, Father, you said in your word that that you left the comforter here. Now, this is how I pray. This is what I recommend. In fact, I challenge you to do this. I challenge anybody listening to me right now to, that the Bible says, try me and see. This is what I do. So I find scriptures in the Bible, and I tell, hey, God, this is what you said, dog. I didn't say it. You said that you wanted to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that I can ask or think. That's what you said. Now, you also said, let me find a verse. My reading skills are not that great. But it says that you said that you honor your word above your own name. Is that not what you say? Let me read it again. It said that your word cannot return void. Oh, man. See, when I read that, I just got happy. Because God, the big one, not the little one, he says his words cannot return void. He said it must accomplish that for which it was sent. So all I got to do is find the word, get in line with the word, and I can go to sleep after that. Because why? It's on autopilot. It's guaranteed. Now, he also says something that blew my mind. He says that the lilies of the field, they need the sow nor reap. Ooh, my toes got curled. My toes are curling right now. Y'all don't even understand. Let me take my shoes off, man. My toes just got curled. Cookies just got blown. He says that the lilies in the fields, and the birds in the air, they don't sow nor reap. So I got a bunch of fools walking around talking about sowing and reaping. But I got a God who says that, hey, I got a higher law. He says the birds, and they don't sow nor reap, and I take care of them. What? Oh, man. So you mean to tell me all these fools running around here talking about, Negro, if you don't do this, you don't work, you don't eat. Well, I don't work, and I eat really good. If it weren't for this tooth I just had pulled out, I'd be eating a steak right now. I'm just waiting for it to heal so I can go eat some steak. Or, let me rephrase that, a good salad. Sister Ella might be listening, so I gotta keep it vegetarian. No, I'm just playing. So let me make sure y'all understand. See, there are lower level laws, and they have higher level laws. I just climbed up the ladder, and I got to the highest law. It's called Agatha on the big G. It means benevolent one. That means that all he does is send good every day, 24/7, 365. He just wants to do good shishness. So there's lower entities. They're called archons. They, you got to catch them on a good day, bad day. You catch them on the wrong day or the bad day, you violate one of their laws. It's called scorched earth. They kill you. They kill your dog. They kill the grass. They kill the freaking trees. They kill everybody. Just go to Old Testament and read about them. Archons. I used to hang out with them. I don't hang out with them anymore. I hang out with the God dog. I hang out with the big G. See, the air is thin, but it's beautiful up there. It's a good view, too. See, now I see. Because I considered, I referred to the big G. What does that mean? It means to commit to the authority for a decision. Well, what decision are we looking for? Excuse me. What decision are we referring for? All of this is one word, relative. We didn't talk about the word value yet. So I am committing to the highest authority, not a authority, the highest one, the one that's in James 3. He's called the Father of Lights. I recommend you hang out with that God, not any other God. There's a bunch of other ones. Just read about all of the other ones in Judges chapter 10, verse 6. Judges chapter 6, verse 10. Read about all of the other gods and then make sure, because so you got one of those. Most people, they worship Mammon. His name is Money. They know in the Bible they call him Mammon. M-A-M-M-O-N. Now, there's a plethora of little G's. You got a couple of them. I recommend you trade them suckers in and just get one. His name is Agathon. Now, his name is Ayah, Asha Ayah, or I am that I am. Now, his name is, I don't got a name. His name in the book of Revelation says his name is the entire word of God. He has a name written on his thigh that no man could pronounce, that name. So let me say it again. He got a name written on his thigh that no man, as long as you're in the dirt shoes, you're considered the man. He got a name written on his thigh that no man could pronounce. So why y'all trying to pronounce it? So when I say the big G, that's what I'm talking about. He knows what I'm talking about. So I refer, I commit to the big G to establish something called merit. That's the word value. Now, value means to consider. Ooh, that's the word aletheia, which is the word truth. Now, the word value comes from a Latin word, V-A-L-O-I-R, or V-A-L-E-R-E. It has to do with intrinsic. It's not outside, it's inside. The word value means intrinsic. So I am referring to a higher authority for my intrinsic worth. Somebody should write that down. Now, see, this is where we're going. We're not there yet. We just laying a foundation today. We're going to the place where you can see intrinsic, desirable, useful, exchangeable, importance. The word value means valiant. It means valor. So my intrinsic, that means desirable, that means useful, that means exchangeable, that means important. Value or valiant, that means social principle. Valiant, V-A-L-I-A-N-T. Value comes from the word valiant. It means boldly courageous. Brave, it means stout-hearted. That means my heart is off the hizzle, so shizzle, my nizzle. So if you ain't got that in your heart, my brother, if you ain't got that in your heart, my sister, your dogs do not hunt. That means when you walk through the valley of shadow of death, you might be scarred. Why? You have not referred to the big G, and he has established something that is inside of you that is significant. So you got to see it, though. Now, we're just talking about it today. Can anybody see it? Y'all can't see it yet. Because how do you see it? Well, it's in who you are being. Being means spirit. Spirit means thought. So that means what you're thinking about, boo-boo. So the Bible tells me what to think about. So I've already referred. Now, remember, the God I said, hey, I got words out there, dude. These words, I honor them above my name. A lot of people argue and debate about the name. How many people argue and debating about my words? Now, you're throwing around the name of Jesus like it's the American Express card. I'm throwing around the words of God because in the beginning was the Word. The Word became flesh, whom we call Jesus, and he walked around men. So you can have the fleshly embodiment of the Word, that means limited, or you can have the spiritual empowerment of the Word. That's why Jesus said, I got to go, so that way the Comforter can come. Because guess what he can do? He can do greater things than me. Why he not limited by no fleshly body? Come on, man. Drop the mic, exit stage left. So I got a personal, private, productive relationship with the Ruach and the Numa. That's the Spirit of God. It is unlimited. It is all-knowing. It is all-powerful. It is all-present. There are ten omnis that I have in my book called The Standard. That's where y'all think I got it from. Y'all think I just made it up? Oh, I've done my homework, brother. I've done my homework, sister. That's why I got 50. That's 50. 50 books. See, even now, I'm giving this class, and I'm talking about worth and value. I still don't know my worth and my value. Why? I should be doing this sitting. I should be talking to Oprah right now. Oprah should be taking my class. Steve Harvey, I should be doing what Steve Harvey's doing. My name, I should be speaking in the stadium every Sunday like Creflo Dollar, like T.D. Jakes, like my boy down in Houston. The only reason I'm not, I don't know my worth and my value. Oh, but I'm learning. And I'm learning really quickly. And I won't be chill this time next year. Why? Worth and value. It has nothing to do with nobody else. It has to do with your calling. It has to do with your anointing. It has to do with the person. It has to do with the place. It has to be with the position. We all have worth. We all have value. But very few of us can see our worth, and we can't see our value. So that means we limit, and we put a boundary. We put ourselves in a box. You are in a box of your own thinking, nobody else's. Today, you can be bold, and you can read. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, the word value, which comes from the word valiant, has to do with bravery and boldness. It has to do with being courageous. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's the word valiant. That's the word value. You got to see that. So I see my value. My value is my ability to refer, to stay connected with the big G, or the Father of lights. Because according to James chapter 3, verse 4, 5, somewhere there, all good gifts come down from the Father of lights. The word value is simply the word valiant that has to do with the word being strong. It means to be well. It means to have power. It means to be able. So worth and value, all of this stuff has to do with ability and capacity. Has to do with being strong. Has to be with being able to rule. Has to do with you being able to have dominion. Because God gave us dominion over five kings way back in the book of Genesis. So worth and value has to do with you having dominion over the five kingdoms. No, none of the five kingdoms have to do with another person. So if you're trying to dominate another human being, I know that you're not talking to the God I'm talking to. That's why I say love without ownership. So you didn't tell me you can't love me unless you can't control me. And that dog does not hunt. Now, unfortunately, there are some people who like or who allow. They husband. You know, we call it spousal abuse. Wife ain't got the food cooked, bam, slap the wife in the mouth, okay, honey, and then she went in there and cooked the food. They say that exists. I had that thought one day, I looked at my wife, and she was like, no, boo-boo, I don't think you want to go there. My wife knows her worth and her value. And we all need to know our worth and our value. Worth and value, not having it, you already got it. The problem is you can't see. So how come you can't see your worth and value? The reason you can't see your worth and value, there's something, there's a plethora of things in your life called negative habit patterns. These are the clouds that limit your worth and value. What does that mean? The sun is out. How do I know the sun is out? I can see light. But I go outside, there is something that is obstructing my view. I can feel the heat of the sun. I can see the light from the sun, but I cannot see the sun. Why? Clouds are obstructing my view. You have worth and value. How do I know? You are. What is actually worth and value? You are being. Right now, you are a good person. What are you doing? That is status. Right now, you are doing. There's no serial killers listening to me right now. Because I don't think so. Nobody has somebody chained up in their basement while they're listening to me, and you get ready to go down there and chop off a finger a day. Nobody is doing none of this, you know, crazy Jason stuff. What you are doing right now, but you can't see because clouds. And everybody that's listening to my voice, you have health, wealth, wisdom, and the capacity for a great relationship. You already have it. So why are you looking for it? Why are you looking for money and you already got money? Why are you looking for health and you already, well, but what I want a better, no, you are, now remember, God's gifts are perfect. He said, be ye perfect because I am perfect. That means that you are perfectly wealthy right now, but somebody got their hands in your pocket. Ooh, who's stealing your money, homie? Somebody is misapplying. Somebody is misdirecting your currency, your thoughts. How? Negative habit programming. That's your past. That's all of the negative events that happened to you in your past that keep coming up and messing up with your thought process. That's your environment. That's your health. when my teeth was the last leg, I was apologizing to my wife this morning. I thank God for my wife because this last month has been hell. Because the pain in my mouth has been so great. I just, when my wife called me one day for lunch, and I just went off because I just was trying to get the pain out of my head, out of my mouth, and I disrespected her. We haven't been on no dates. I haven't done anything for the last really month, 2 months. I know you guys probably didn't notice it, but and some of y'all probably did. Shows wasn't as, pain just shut me down. Only thing I focused on was how do I get this pain out of my mouth? How do I get this pain out of my mouth? So what happened? I couldn't see. Why? Pain clouded my vision. Other thoughts clouded my vision. What other thoughts? Get pain out of head, out of mouth. So right now, you have worth in your value. You have worth and you got value, but you can't see it. Why? Negative habit patterns are clouding your vision that is limiting your ability to see your true worth and your value, all of it. You see it. You know you got worth. You know you got value. You wouldn't be listening to the show if you didn't. So you already know you got worth. You already know you got value. I know I got worth and I know I got value, but I don't see myself the way God does. That's why there's still more clouds. There's still more negative habit patterns to get rid of. There's still more coping mechanisms. See, I had the tooth pain for over a year, and I had something called Tylenol Extra Strength. It's called a coping mechanism. So I popped 8 to 12 Tylenol Extra Strength every day pretty much for the last year. 8, 12. I was taking them 2-3 at a time. Why? Coping mechanism. It allowed me to cope with the pain. You're doing the same thing. You got worth in your value. You got worth in value. But you can't see the worth in value. So you got something in your life that allows you to cope with the fact that you don't see your worth and your value. It could be your mate. It could be your job. It could be your children. It could be your house. It could be your car. Why? You putting your energy into that instead of putting your energy into your purpose. So I got a question for you, my brother. I got a question for you, my sister, as we bring today's message to a close. I want for everybody to examine, where are you putting your energy? One of the things that you're putting your energy into, you need to take your energy out. Maybe 3, 4, 5 of things. Right now, you're putting your energy into something that is stealing your worth and your value. Now, remember the terms and definitions that we established, because tomorrow we're going to continue as we go through the 3-step process. Tomorrow, we're going to look at who you are being. Because who you are being is not authentic. How do I know? How do I know? Because it's taking more out of you than it's putting in you. See, I don't know how to explain it in words. When you refer to an authority, when you just acknowledge the fact that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, when you make the statement. Now, remember, God honors his words, not yours. God is not like we've been taught in church. It's really sad because in church, everybody have this fear. Now, I know the book in Proverbs. I got a whole book that breaks down the fear of the Lord. I'm going to do that series again. I've already done that. A lot of people use that. They say, well, yeah, but the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is. But that fear, the definition of the word fear doesn't mean what we think fear as in being concerned or being afraid. It has to do with what I'm talking about right now, which is the word value. That means the ability to refer or to consider that God knows what he's doing better than you know what you're doing. It's the ability to simply make a statement that says his viewpoint is higher than mine. He says in the Bible, his ways are not like our ways. His thoughts are not like our thoughts. God ain't going to come down to your level. You got to go up to his level. That's what that means. Fear means that you are smart enough to understand. Like he told Job, where were you when I spun the universe and created the stars, since you know so much? So I'm going to ask you the same question God asked Job. Where was you, since you God? Now, I make a lot of statements about know you not, that you are God, and all of this other. I do a lot of self-empowering statements, right? But I ain't stupid. The Bible says, brother, I wish that of all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. The word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It has the ability to pierce even the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joint and the marrow, and it is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. You guys know that's my favorite scripture, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Why? Because it says the word of God is alive. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. So I can do a lot of things. I'm a very, quote-unquote, linguistical, savvy guy. But when I want to get business done, guess what I do? I use the word of God. Why? The word of God is alive. Not the word of Willie. The word of God. So even though you may not hear me say it, when it's me, myself, and I, all three of us, we get together and we quote scriptures to God. We tell God what God told us. That's all I do. Every day, all day, I just remind God of what he said. Because God is a great God. If you understand that God is a God that established worth and value, so I need to see what God made me, which is all I do for a living. I help people see what God said. That's what I do. Nothing more, nothing less. I help people see what God said, what God has already done. The enemy's job is to help you not see. Everybody listen to the sound of my voice. We have gifts according to the grace that was given unto us, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 4, or according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Everybody has spiritual gifts. One of my spiritual gifts is teaching. The other one, again, is discernment. Because God ain't giving me the spirit of fear. He gave me the spirit. He gave me the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So anytime I think I don't have power, anytime I think I don't have love, anytime I think I'm bipolar, because I went to a doctor and he says, "Brother Will, you're bipolar." Okay, hang on just a second. Let me see. And then let me look in the Bible. So I went to the Bible. I could not find in there where God said, "Thou art bipolar." I did find in there, however, that he gave me a sound mind. So I can either go with what the psychiatrist said, or I can go with what God said. I just chose every time somebody said, "Well, brother, we ain't got no money." Okay, hang on a minute. God said that he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. God said that I'm a joint heir with Christ. Everything that he has, I have. So God said, if I, being evil, know how to give good gifts to my children, how much more? So I can go by what the bank says, or I can go by what God says. So I establish my worth and my value. I refer to a higher authority to establish my worth and my value. Are you doing that? Are you referring to a higher authority, the highest authority? I recommend the highest one. The other ones, they play games. They're all cons. Now, they good. They good. Sin is pleasurable for a moment. However, I recommend, after 50 plus years of experience, I recommend the big G. That's not on the planet. You got to go off the globe to get in touch with the big G. He's not in your church, unfortunately, because they teach duality. Everybody. Everybody teaches good and evil. Jesus came that you might have life. That's what he said. Jesus said, everybody who came before me are thieves and robbers. That's what he said. That's not what I'm saying. You got a problem with it? You can go talk to him. He said, everybody who came before me are thieves and robbers. I don't talk to nobody who came before him. I only talk to him. He said he wishes to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that I can ask or think. He said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, all who are against me shall fall. He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So I go by what he said. Why? He's the Word manifested in flesh. So he told me, your words manifested in flesh. So I did exactly what he said. And I took 12 words that he said, and those 12 words manifested in flesh. And when I did what he said, guess what? It changed my life. And so I teach that now in my life management system. There are 12 words that represents the 12 cranial nerves inside your brain right now. Those are inside your life optimization circle. Those are the classes and seminars I'm going to be doing all around the globe. Starting first, June 2nd, we'll be in Dallas. June the 20-something, we'll be down in H-Town. And after that, we're probably going to either Phoenix or maybe Albuquerque or somewhere else. And what I'm going to be helping people see. I ain't establishing nothing. God established it. I'm just helping you see what he's already done. So join me tomorrow, brothers and sisters. We're going to break it down and we continue with part two of how to see your working value. This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach and the Enuma, brothers and sisters, that's called the Holy Spirit. May the Ruach and the Enuma, a.k.a. the Holy Spirit, continue to lead you and guide you. Notice it leads and guides. Notice it doesn't manipulate or control. May the Holy Spirit continue to lead you and guide you into all truth. Not some truth, but all truth. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.